comes from John 3,
verses 1 through 13. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you that you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There is no greater or deeper philosopher in the world than a toddler right before bedtime. It was one late night when she well should have been in bed that little Brenna Ray turned to her mother Mandy and said, "Mom, why aren't jellyfish made out of jelly?" And I've experienced this as well. You might have kids, or you might have been the kid that was difficult to put to bed in the middle of the night. So we have a pretty standard kind of bedtime routine. It might be similar to something that you experienced when you were a kid, or if you've got kids as well. And pretty much after dinner time, everybody in the house, from the oldest person in the house to the children to the dog and the cat, know what's expected of them. Whether it's after you finish your dinner, you go and put your pajamas on, you brush your teeth, you use the restroom, you go to bed, you wait, you get your songs that you get sung every night, you say your prayers that we say every night, and then you turn off the light. And with as standard as that routine tries to be, just about every night, you never know what you're going to get once you flip off that light switch. That's when they become deep thinkers. My child is never more affectionate than when she's supposed to be trying to go to sleep. And she'll come out and she'll butter me up and she'll say, "Daddy, I just love you." And she'll say, "Can I please have some more water?" And then you send her back to bed, you bring her a little thing of water. And then just a couple minutes later, she comes out and she says, "This water doesn't taste right." And it's any number of things that might be going through her head. If it's not the water, then maybe it's some of these questions that are going through her head. I think some of my favorites have been, do frogs have ears? And it's one where it's sure, we can talk about the biology of frogs, but not 8 o'clock at night. Some of the others, does the cat miss me when I'm at school? And I didn't want to be the one to tell her, say, "Baby, cats don't miss anybody." They're cats. They pretty much do their own thing. She has all sorts of deep questions that kind of come out. And because I'm a preacher and they're preacher's kids and they hear me about preach all sorts of different things, sometimes they have the deeper philosophical questions. And just on a Sunday like today, Trinity Sunday, they might ask a question of, well, if Jesus is really God, then why does Jesus pray to God? And why does God talk about sending someone else the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, kid, we are not going to solve the Trinity right now. I barely have a working knowledge of it, and they pay me to do it. Something about at night brings out the deep questions. Now, this is not limited to just children. You know this as well. Any number of us have kind of sat with our head on the pillow in the middle of the night and had some of these deeper questions kind of pop into our head. Sometimes they're very deep questions about what we're going through in our life. And other times, they're just as ridiculous as what the kids ask us, right? One of our members posted some of these thoughts on social media recently, so it got me thinking. And I picked out some of my favorites from what she posted. If you rip a hole in a net, it now has fewer holes in it. Think about that for a second. Why does our nose run, but our feet smell? Questions we ponder. I asked in the 8:30 and the 10 o'clock service, why is it called a building if it's already built? To which we had a contractor that was in there, and he was like, because a building is never finished. I was like, well, there you go. And one of my favorite ones that used to keep her up at night was, to your stomach, all potatoes are mashed. The things that pop into our head at night, we don't always control them, and it's sort of our biology. As we lay down at the end of the day, our brain kind of goes into a process that it begins to try to categorize and kind of compartmentalize all the different information that we have kind of shoved into it. And trust me, not all of it's great information. Sometimes our brain is like, I don't know what you want me to do with this. And it tries to kind of help us sort of reboot and kind of get everything kind of refreshed again. But sometimes, if we're stressed, if we're anxious, we got a lot on our mind, then a lot of those thoughts kind of stay right at the front, and it's difficult for us to fall asleep. And who knows what will pop into our minds in the middle of the night. What I love about this so much is in our scripture reading, we learn that this is not limited to just us nowadays. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to see Jesus in the middle of the night when all the other good little Pharisees are asleep in their bed. And he, just like that toddler, asked Jesus the most ridiculous questions that you could imagine. And he does just what my little 6 and my little 4-year-old do, is he starts with trying to butter Jesus up, right? He was like, now Jesus, you are one of the best rabbis I know. And of all the things that you've done, I know that you are of God because of the way that God moves in you, of what you speak about. And Jesus has got to be like some of us parents, or like some of our parents were when we were kids, and he knows that something's coming. And I wonder if Jesus gave Nicodemus the same look that my mama used to give me when I asked her ridiculous things. And he was like, so this being born again thing, you said that nobody gets to have this life with God, gets to heaven, except being born from above. How are we born anew? How are we born again? Do we climb in the womb for a second time? And Jesus is like, what are you talking about? He says, if you don't understand these things, he said, the things of God, if you do not see them, it's almost like chasing after the wind. You can feel it, but you don't know where it's coming from. And Nicodemus says, okay, well, what does that mean? How is that possible then? And Jesus says, kid, if I can't get you to understand the earthly things, I'm surely not at midnight in the middle of the house going to get you to understand the spiritual things. And Nicodemus does not get a satisfying answer. But when you think about it, Nicodemus really isn't that far off base from where most of us kind of come. His questions really aren't that uncommon. You see, we struggle with these questions of faith. We have these questions that we'd like to ask Jesus if we got a chance. Because really, when you boil it down, look at what Nicodemus is asking Jesus. Nicodemus is asking Jesus, how can I have a life with God? How can I catch God? Does God even notice me? Does God love me? Does God have any sense of who I am and where I fit into this world? And that's starting to sound more like the questions that we sometimes ask at night. Because when kids ask us some of these questions, as ridiculous as they seem in the moment, they're trying to find out where they belong in the world. They're trying to find out how the world works and how they fit into it and if they have a place in it. And that's what we're doing when we come to Jesus with these questions, these moments, and these struggles of how we fit into this life. And there's bad news. The bad news is Nicodemus does not get a very good answer in these first 13 verses. And the bad news is sometimes we don't get a good answer either. Because when we ask God, what can we do to have a life with God? And what can we do to catch the things of God? The answer is nothing. There's nothing you can do. Because the good news is, because the gospel is, that God has already done it for you. That God has already moved in such a way that he has answered questions you have not even thought to ask yet. And he has brought you to a point in life that you didn't even realize that you needed him yet. And on this Trinity Sunday, where we think about this idea that God once had and then brought us into creation, and then came to live in our world and to show us how to live and destroy everything that ever had power over us before we ever even realized we needed him. And when we came to a moment in this life where we felt like God was going to fulfill the greatest promise that he had ever told over us, he ascended into heaven and said, now it's your job to do. But I'm sending one with you who will empower you and who will move within you with the Holy Spirit. You see, God has already moved in the questions we haven't thought of yet. And in every question that we begin to stir to God and we ask God, is there a way that we can do something in this life to obtain the things of God, to chase after God and to have a life with God? Jesus says, no, there's nothing you can do on your own. But God has already done it because of the deep love that he has for you. Every question we have in this world can be answered by one thing: Jesus. How do we know God? How do we know how God thinks? How do we know the character and the nature of God? Look at Jesus. How do we know that salvation is possible? How do we know that there is a way in this life that we can live in such a way to have hope and joy? Look at what Jesus did. How do we know that death and tragedy do not have the last words and promises over our life? Because of what Jesus has done. And he did that work before you ever even asked for it. And he makes the way for us each and every day before we even need to remember what to pray for. He hears your prayers and begins moving in them. You look at the questions that Nicodemus asks, how ridiculous they are in the moment. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to chase after the wind or to chase after the things of God? And it might not be in the first 13 verses that he gets the answer that he wants. But look at what Jesus tells him in the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. For whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The answer to every question we have ever had is the love of God thrown through Jesus Christ. And on this Trinity Sunday, we are reminded of the many ways that God has moved into us and has come to us and has stepped towards us before we ever even realized we needed him or realized he was here. There are some of us that are wondering, can our life be remade? Can we be created again? Are there moments in our life that we can see something come out of nothing? Because there is a creator that loves you. And we wonder if those parts of our lives that used to be alive but have died off and have shriveled, whether it's relationships or passion in our lives or moves that we used to have, that we had plans and dreams of what we would do. Jesus said those things that we thought we were dead can be resurrected again through Jesus. And if we have wondered if we're unprepared or unready or ill-equipped to do a work that Jesus is asking for us to do, can we possibly live in such a way that we can be greater than we are today and actually go forth and make a difference in this world, let alone make a difference in our lives? There is a Holy Spirit that came down and sparked something inside each and every one of us and brought us to life. And the Holy Spirit, God has stepped towards you and moved towards you and been an answer to the questions before we ever even realized. And in this Trinity Sunday, we're reminded that God has come to us in every way that we needed him before we ever even thought that we needed him. And he will continue to create and to redeem and to resurrect and empower and remind and to love each and every one of us. So from here on out, to remember this Trinity Sunday, anytime you have a little toddler come up and say, "Why aren't jellyfish made out of jelly?" you can just say, "I don't know. Ask Jesus." Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks because you make us more than what we are on our own. You created us before we were even a whisper or an idea. Lord, you redeemed us before we knew that we were unredeemable. And Lord, you enlightened us, you empowered us before we knew that we needed work. You are the God who answers every question that we have before we even know them. Through your love, Lord, you have shown us that all things are possible. You have shown us that there is life after death. You have shown us that you desire something more than what we desire. You have shown us that we can be more than what we imagine. Lord, you have seen us for something greater than what we see in ourselves. And you have fallen in love with us and done everything to come down for us. Through the God that is the creator and the God who is the redeemer and the God through the Holy Spirit that lives within us, Lord, we give you thanks. And we seek to live in such a way to tell your story as a witness and as a hope and a joy in this world. As we do this all in Jesus' name, amen.